Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. We could have been anywhere in the world today, but we're here together to worship. Hallelujah. And there's no place we'd rather be than here in His love. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship with us today. Come on, let's worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God, we just want more. Father, we want more of you. God, we want more of your spirit. God, we want more of your presence. We want more of your glory. But Father, while we're desiring more, help us to wait. Help us to wait on you. Help us to diligently seek your face, God. Help us to seek your face and not your hand, oh Lord. We ask that in our waiting, you build our faith. In our waiting, you build our hope. In our waiting, you build our trust. So the song we're about to sing is called Wait on You, and it talks about exactly what it sounds like, about the importance of waiting on the Lord, because the Bible tells us that as we wait on the Lord, he renews our strength, and that we'll run and not get weary, we'll walk and not faint. So this morning, can we lift up our worship to our King as we wait on him? For whatever it is you're waiting for God to do, whatever move it is you're waiting for him to make, whatever healing you're believing him for, he can do it in your waiting. Father, we thank you.
I'm tasting your goodness.
sort of minister themselves is because if we're really honest with ourselves, waiting is hard. Because there are some of us in this room who have believed in God for something and it feels like it hasn't come to pass yet. It feels like he's forgotten you. It feels like he's abandoned you. But can I encourage you this morning that as you wait on God, he is building your faith. As you wait on God, he is building your intimacy with your relationship as you wait on God. And I know, I get it, waiting is hard. Waiting hurts. Waiting is confusing because you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know how God is going to move. But can I encourage you that as you wait, he's working. As you wait, he's working. And here's what I love about the Lord, because we don't have to wait in silence. The Bible tells us that the Father inhabits the praises of his people. So can I encourage you, can I challenge you to praise the Lord our God while you're waiting, even though you don't know how it's going to work out, even though it doesn't make sense. I dare you that while you're waiting, to praise our God like it's already done, like it's already done. Because here's the truth, it's already done, it's already handled, it's already taken care of. You don't have nothing to worry about, baby. He's already done. He's already done it. It is already sealed in heaven. So while you're waiting, this is what he expects while you're waiting. This is what pleases his heart while you're waiting. The praises of his people, the praises of his children. The Bible tells us that as we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. Meaning when you get weak in waiting, he's waiting to renew you. He is still renewing you. He is still strengthening you. He is still covering you. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. You get a little stronger. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. This is Bible. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. You get a little stronger. That's what happens when you wait.
That's what happens when you wait.
You get a little stronger.
Wait on the Lord.
He will renew. trust in your goodness, trust in your promise, God. I'm gonna wait on you, because I have no other choice. But I've tasted your goodness, and it is sweet, I know.
This week, we had the largest birds to sit on our boathouse. And our neighbor calls and said, "Have you seen those humongous birds sitting on your boathouse?" It's like, "No, really, haven't even noticed." But I went out and looked, and I called pastor and said, "You got to come see this." and they were humongous. When living on the water, you see these giant birds that just glide across the top of that water. They just barely skim it. They can see their meal in that water, and they come down and they get on that. So when I was thinking about the scripture about waiting on the Lord and the strength of the wings of an eagle, the preciseness to be able to glide across that water and get your next meal is amazing. It's amazing. As we wait on the Lord, you might have to glide some. You might have to just spread your wings and just glide and let the Holy Spirit hold you. Because you know what? Your next meal is coming. You have the strength. It says it right here. You know, I love the songs that sing the scriptures. Look this scripture up. Write it down. Put it on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth. Read it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Some of y'all feel tired and weary, but he's going to renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And if you've ever seen the wingspan of an eagle, you know the strength of that bird to glide. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I walk my dog, I feel like I'm gonna faint sometimes. That dog is just pulling, and when he stops, he expects me to stop. He won't come. I have to wait on him to come on because he's strong. When we walk our dog, sometimes I say to Pastor, good gracious, this is about to kill me with this dog. You hold the dog and I'll walk freely. But when we walk, we will not grow weary. We won't faint. So with your walk in Christ, you're not going to faint. You keep walking that walk, one step at a time. And you remember this scripture. Put it wherever you need to, whether it's in your car, on your mirror, to remind you that you're waiting on the Lord. There's some things that he hasn't answered for you yet. There's some times that we feel weary, distracted, concerned, confused, but we're waiting on God. We don't make a move until the Lord says to make a move. Is that right? I love that. I love that we can wait in his presence for the answer. And you know what? We don't have to be quick about it. Just like praise and worship this morning, we don't have to come in here and within 2 minutes be finished in a song. We can wait on the Lord. So let's sing that song again, Corey. Let's sing that chorus again because we want to wait on the Lord. There's people right now waiting. Lift your arms, extend those hands, and wait. Wait.
So wait.
our strength. In the waiting, when we walk in your ways, we will not faint. Lord, we thank you for the strength, for the answers, for the time that we can close ourselves in with you and wait on your healing. Wait on your promises. Wait on your restoration. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today for all those that might be represented here who have been waiting. And we keep saying, God, when? God, when? God, when? But Lord, we wait on you. Our trust is in you, Father. We know that you're the one who can complete things that are not complete. You're the one who can change things for our good, and you love us beyond all else. We thank you, Father, that we can wait on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. We wait on you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Opportunities this week, and starting with Wednesday Word worship at 7 p.m. I think we have a video for that.
Join Carpenter Shop International Church for Wednesday worship and word at 7 p.m. as Pastor Wallace teaches on spiritual gifts from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. Discover God's power for you to serve in his kingdom.
All right, that's starting this Wednesday night, the 10th. And it's Wednesday Word and Worship. So come midweek and enjoy the worship team as they welcome us into the presence of the Lord. And then Pastor gives us a word. Our teens will be in here with us as well, but there will be children's ministry upstairs. Also, we have a men's event. And if you came through the doors today, someone probably handed you a flyer. It's called Trucks and Butts. Who loves to have some roasted butts on the, what is it called? The pig, pick, and grill. Who loves that, right? Everybody, right? I think I might come to the men's ministry. Just stay in the kitchen and grab some goodies, right? But it's 7 p.m. on this Friday night. You don't want to miss it. They have guest speakers lined up. And men, you need to come and you need to bring your men friends. All right, and you know what? A lot of times we forget that our teenage boys need to be stepping into that boundary, stepping into that men's role. So bring your teenage boys. Yes, yes. Amen. And then our God Loves You tour is today at 4 p.m. Let's look at that video as well.
Boy, this is incredible. What a night. Jesus is not dead. No, he's here for you tonight. I want you to know this. God loves you. God loves you. I promise you that.
God is willing to forgive our sins. He'll give us a new life and a new beginning.
Amen, amen. So it's in Edenton at the American Legion Fairgrounds. Now, I know all of you go to the Chowan County Fair. I've seen you there. I've heard you go there. I don't know why, because it always rains every time we have a fair over there. But y'all show up. So tonight is a great opportunity to drive over to Edenton. You know they have a Dairy Queen. I'm just saying. You can get your Dairy Queen at 3 o'clock, and you can be in line by 3:30. and it would be fabulous. I remember as a little girl, my parents didn't go off much. About once a year before Christmas, we went to Norfolk. But my mom took the teens. Now, I was not a teenager. I think I was the third or fourth grade, maybe. I got to go because my mom took all the teens and she didn't have anywhere to leave us. And she took me to a Billy Graham outreach in Norfolk, Virginia. And I have always stated I've seen Billy Graham live. It's something in our Christian walk to show our children it's worth going a long ways to hear the Word of God. It's worth going a long ways to respect and give honor, not only to the Lord in hearing His Word, but to the person who has given his life to share that word. I will never forget going to Billy Graham and the woman who stepped down on stage, which was very unlikely at that time. We had white churches, we had black churches. And I stood there in the third or fourth grade, intermingled in that huge auditorium that I'd never seen before, in awe as the black woman stood forward and sang Amazing Grace, the most beautiful sound I had ever heard. She gave it some soul. And it was beautiful. But I remember the reverence in that huge auditorium, all those people listening to God's word being proclaimed. The good news. Jesus loves me. This little girl that rarely ever went to Norfolk was hearing the word of God on a stage she had never been to before, in an atmosphere that was so welcoming. Everybody dropped their own agenda. Everybody unified to become one in that house, listening to the word of God and honoring Jesus. And those who had never heard that Jesus loved them that night went forward. They went forward giving their heart to the Lord for the first time. So tonight I'm looking forward to hearing his son share the word of God, passing that legacy along. It's wonderful. So make sure you show up tonight, 4 o'clock, at the Edenton Fairgrounds, the God Loves You Tour. And if you're a guest with us today, we welcome you. And we would love to give you a small gift at our Welcome Center right outside in the lobby. And we'd love to talk with you for just a few minutes. I know Sunday afternoons can be busy, but if you'll stop by, we just want to connect, give you a small gift to take home with you. And just welcome you to our church. At this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Feel free to come and place your tithe and offering in the buckets at the front. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Come on. Come on, tell the Lord, fill me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Come on, stand with me, would you? Come on, raise up your hands and say, fill me, Lord. Come on, afresh and anew. Fill me, God. I sent the earnest of my spirit, declares the Lord. I sent the earnest of my spirit, the Holy Ghost, inside of you, not only to change you, but to lead you. Not only to lead you, but to guide you, to point you in directions that you would not go on your own. I sent the earnest of my spirit to comfort you, declares the Lord. I sent the earnest of my spirit to release unto you spiritual giftings, to empower you that you might touch a world for my name's sake, declares the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, says the living God, that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, declares the Lord. For I sent my Spirit, declares the Lord, to fill you, to empower you, to deliver you from you, declares the living God. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Give the Lord praise today. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in His presence. So glad you're here today. You ever, whenever you were growing up as a kid, did you ever just like pretend like you were playing a guitar? Have y'all felt that this morning, like you just wanted to play something? Come on. Amen. Let the Lord get all over your body and play an instrument. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Come on, give it up for the worship team this morning. Hallelujah. And thank you guys for joining us online. Listen, 182 nations of the earth worshiping with us. Amen. God has opened doors. Somebody say internationally. And so we thank God for every opportunity. Be praying for me. Some of you have given to this effort. I'll be traveling to Pakistan, a place I've never been before. In the month of September, I think I leave on September the 11th. Preaching to a crowd of 80,000 people at once. Amen. An opportunity that I'm so humbled to be able to experience, and praying about that, even praying about, God, what would you have me to say? I saw footage yesterday and pictures yesterday of that mass group of people. Pastor John stood right here in this pulpit, extended an invitation to me to come to Pakistan and preach the gospel. And I thank God for that opportunity. I thank God for international things. Come on. Amen. Look around. Listen, you're sitting in a little town in eastern North Carolina. I marvel in eastern North Carolina. Would you turn around and just look at these people? Come on, every color imaginable. Y'all big box of crayons. Come on, somebody. Such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. And wow, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit in this room today are just, they're tangible. Come on, let me feel the Holy Ghost today. They're tangible. They're tangible. Such a powerful experience of God's presence. And we love you. We appreciate you. We're glad you're here. Thank you guys for watching online, faithfully being a part of the service here at Carpenter Shop International Church. You know, over a year ago, I sat in a Starbucks in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and sat at a table and talked about the future. It was deeper than coffee. It was like, okay, God, can we partner here? Can we do something significant? And Dr. Ivan Ndamukong, dear friend, Ivan, stand up, my friend, served as an elder at this church. Amen. Served as an elder at this church. And I hope you can feel and sense the dynamics of what God is doing in this house of worship here in this small town. And also had the privilege of sitting with a dear, dear man of God in his family. And Dr. Gabala, somebody say Gabala. Gabila, let's say it right, Gabila. Gabila Nubong, his wife attended here for some time and did music here. And we're just excited that we were able to sit at that table and fulfill Jeremiah 29:11, okay? For I know the what? Plans. There were plans made around that table. And you know what? I said, listen, I would love to be a part of what God has placed on your heart. And we're going to share about that vision in just a moment. Love to be a part of that. But I think it would be best for us to make the journey and to see with our own eyes and touch with our hands and see what God has placed on your heart. And so I plan to go. I plan to take a month and go on my journey to Pretoria, South Africa, and see for myself. And as I began to listen to him share his heart and the target that he was trying to hit, somebody say target. And that target is a younger audience. And I said, you know what? They don't need me over there. I'm just needing to send somebody else. So I talked to Pastor Anoli, and Pastor Anoli said, yeah, I'm willing to go. And he spent about 4 weeks. And just recently, he just got back home a couple of weeks ago. And today he's in Nag's Head preaching. You say, why don't Anoli come here more? Because we're not going to let him. Amen? We're going to send him out, all right? We're going to let him blaze the trail preaching the gospel. He's at Ark International Fellowship this morning in Nag's Head. He'll preach for the Spanish service tonight, Ark International Church in the Spanish church at 5 o'clock. So pray for him. He's got to have that double anointing today. And but I sent him. And he wasn't there but just a few days before he said, Pastor, this is a good thing. This is a real good thing. And so you're familiar with what we call in the States Chi Alpha, where a missionary, a man or woman of God, take the effort to go to the college campus and impact the student body and raise them up in the kingdom of God and train them and disciple them and nurture them and release them to do ministry wherever God would send them. That's exactly what's in the heart of Gabila Nubong, okay? That's exactly what's in his heart, to raise up a mighty army of young people in the college setting, train them, release them for ministry. And so I want you to welcome him this morning. Welcome Gabila to the platform this morning, would you? Come on. Hallelujah. We're gonna step to the side here. He's slightly a little taller than me, isn't he? Amen. Right. Amen. We are gonna step to the side here and show you just a slice of the video that Pastor Anoli and him took. We had like three choices, and the wind was beating and battering in a couple of them. So we used
the one where Anoli is trying to explain. You must have been holding the camera that day.
Yeah.
Were you okay?
Yeah.
So he was the cameraman that day. Yeah. He might have been the cameraman that day, but he's the man behind the mission of what God is going to do in this great area of Swaziland. So take a listen to Pastor Anoli as he shares what he experienced just a few weeks ago.
Swaziland, the kingdom of Eswatini, and this is the ministry site that has just been acquired, and we want to build a ministry center here, and we want to bring students from the universities, from the surrounding universities, to come here for retreats and conferences so that we can pour into their lives, so that we can invest in them, teach the word, let God work in their hearts so that they can be transformed. There are a lot of things that are happening here in this nation, and those things need a touch from God. Students here need a touch from God, and we want to be a blessing to them. Pastor Gabila has a wonderful vision for bringing the kingdom of God here to Swaziland. And I was talking to some of the students, and they were telling me that there's no ministry. There's no ministry in the universities, and there's no campus ministry. And so this is something that is very much needed. This is something that's brand new, and we want to be a blessing to those around us. And so we hope that you will embrace the vision, that you will dream with us, and that you will find a way to partner with us to see God move mightily here in the nation of Swaziland.
Amen. Can you see that facility in that beautiful land of Swaziland? Can you see it? God has used this church. Somebody say, this church.
This church.
God has used this church in times past. We've seen a church built in Romania right by ourselves. We've got pictures now, and it's a beautiful thing. We just had a team, Pastor Mike, our missions pastor, and Joel and Roger, took off and erected a facility, and the night that they finished it had 400 people to come to a worship service, and we did it all right from this congregation. Now, we're not asked to do it all by ourselves, so I've been busy behind the scenes calling pastors, calling churches, arranging meetings. So for the next 30 days, this man's going to be busy. He's going to be going in churches all across northeastern North Carolina. And North Carolina is together, somebody say together, going to come together and unite our finances. And where you saw that beautiful place right here where Anoli's standing, we're going to be the state in this union that's going to resurrect a facility over there so that God can impact the lives of young people. Come on, give the praise and the honor to God. Little is much when God is in it. And so we're excited today. There'll be another little planning session around the table, and we'll talk about facility, and Pastor Mike will take that upon himself and hear what the heart is from this man of God and from Brother Ivan. And we'll talk about facility and type and those kinds of things. And we're just excited to be able to be kingdom builders. Come on, somebody. Kingdom builders. So I'm going to release the microphone to him. He's going to let you peer in the window of what's in his heart for just a few moments, and then we will proceed with the word of God today. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Wallace. Good morning, church. Quickly, just to say thank you so much for sending Pastor Anoli. We had a wonderful time, and him coming made such a difference. Thank you for allowing God to use you to extend your heart and your hands to what God is doing in other parts of the world. I hope that by the time I give the mic back to Pastor Wallace in the next 2-3 minutes, I would have persuaded you to be convinced why you need to be a part of what God is doing in Southern Africa. South Africa and Southern Africa shares history with the U.S. in so many ways. The similarities are just too many. Coexistence of people of different races with a complicated past, with the difference being that South Africa is a much younger nation that is open for influence. So the South African democracy, it's about 30 years old, whereas in the U.S. you are at almost 200. And so it's a sense in which a lot of the challenges that we are dealing with now are some of the challenges that you dealt with about 150 years ago. So there's a battle for the soul of the nation. There's a battle for the soul of the young people. There's a battle for the soul of the existence and the future of the gospel, not only in the nation of South Africa, but South Africa is a gateway and an entrance route to all over Africa. It's the largest economy, most developed economy on the African continent. So it sort of carries the spiritual temperature of the continent. And it's a huge battle. They had a system of historical segregation that ended just about 30 years ago. It was legislated, it was called apartheid, that caused separate development. The difference being that the relative rich ratio, it's about 5% of the population versus about 80 to 95% of the population. So there is a new wave that's currently up with majority of the population needing education, needing health services. And as far as the gospel is concerned, sitting at the epicenter, receiving influence from all kinds of places. Now, in the wake of the establishment of the new democratic order, there were lots of liberal influences that came down into determining the set of the institutions that was going to run the country. So we have one of the most liberal constitutions on the African continent that contains certain things which the rest of the African countries do not yet subscribe to because of the influence that came from some Western countries. And the church is sitting in that space trying to contribute to raise a generation of God-fearing men and women who are going to stand up for righteousness, who are going to stand up for righteousness in institutions of governance, in business, and it's going to sort of give direction to the heartbeat of the country. And this is where we come in. So the ministry that we render, we're focusing on high schools and university campuses, going there to raise a generation of Daniels and Josephs and Esthers and Nehemiahs, spirit-filled professionals that are great at what they do, but represent God wherever they go. So that's the heart of the ministry, and we would so love to have you, each and every one of you, partner with us in prayers and in so many other ways as we'll be exploring the next couple of days. Thank you so much, Pastor Wallace. I think that's like the gist of it. Amen.
Okay. Did you have slides there for us, Denise? Amen. So here's just for your information, you might want to snap a picture of that so you can pray for this CYSM, that's the name of the organization, to pray for our friend here every day. God, raise this facility up. Raise this house of worship up. Okay, next slide. Summary of a praise report. You might want to snap a picture of that. Actively involved in two universities, outreaches to high schools, ministry to kids on the street. The same thing, touching the communities with the gospel, those that are afflicted with drugs, outreaches to university campus, other countries, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Botswana, all of which Anoli visited those countries while he was away. I kind of tricked him. I told him he was going to South Africa and sent him to four countries. Isn't that the kind of the way you should do it, you know? Like, go ahead and, you know, while you're out there, go ahead and see these other countries. And then acquired a farm for the first campsite. You know, when we sat down at the table, these guys didn't have any property. But today, we're able to say that they have property where you saw Pastor Anoli standing. God has given the land. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And then there's a report of the financing and sustainability model that God has laid on his heart, and he's seeing come to pass with each passing day. Would you give praise to the Lord for all he's doing? Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. One more slide. All right. Yes, she had the book here. That's right. She had her book.
So Barbara wrote this book for young girls. We use it as a tool in ministry to help them overcome the pressures that come from society in giving them an identity. So your true identity in Christ Jesus, understanding yourself for who God says you are, as a foundation to living a successful and victorious Christian life. And I came with a few copies as well. So. She did the CD while she was here. Yeah, she did the CD. Yes. Yeah, so brought some copies. And then this is now Pursuit of Academic Excellence. Now, one of the things which we're believing God is leading us to do among in the college campus is Daniel, I think it's Daniel 3:17 or 4:17, where the Bible says a spirit of excellence rested upon Daniel. And he was so good at what he did that the people who were trying to constrain him from being effective in the Lord could not find anything to point out. So the pursuit of academic excellence, as we go into the college campuses, we are saying that God gives ability to excel. He's a God of knowledge. He's a God of wisdom. He does not only come and heal headaches and heartaches and heart pains. He also gives wisdom in understanding of science and politics and everything that you're studying. So we'll put a book together just to encourage the young people to excel in their studies, have A grades, and be able to represent Christ with a spirit of excellence as well. So we also bought a few copies, and it's part of the content which we are taking to the college campuses.
Amen. So you can see him in the foyer at the close of the service if you'd like to pick up a book. He has copies of those. Let's believe God. Let's believe God that his journey here for the month of May, June, and July will completely accomplish the plan that God has placed on his heart. God is able, amen? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. We're going to believe that, amen? Well, let's worship the Lord together in just prayer right now. Would you lift your hands with me all over the building? Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we worship you right now. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We acknowledge who you are, a God of abundance, a God of provision, a God of more than enough, your El Shaddai. And so we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. And God, as we transition now to your word, we pray you will speak to our hearts today. Father, speak to those, God, who are among us today as we talk about faith, monumental faith. Would you deposit into us today a word that will change us, change the course of how we think, how we act, how we move, how we respond, to fulfill the destiny, God, that you have assigned to our lives. It's in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Monumental faith. I want to speak to you today a message that I've simply entitled, Abraham Going Without Knowing. Come on, let that sink into you just a second. Going without knowing. How many of you consider yourself a control person? You kind of like to know what's up, right? Come on, I do. I'm type A, all right? I just want to know what's up. I want to know what the details are. You know, when are we leaving? What do I need to bring with me? All of us like to have some sense of idea of what's getting ready to take place on a particular journey, but let's take that a step further. All of us certainly would like to know what's going on in my life, right? Come on. What's going on in my life? God's going to speak to your heart today. He is. I'm confident that he is. In fact, I'm praying for that person that's, you know, you're teetering right now, even in walking with God. You're teetering right now and just kind of standing in the crossroads, so to speak. And, you want to sell out, but you haven't sold out. You're kind of doing the church thing, but the church thing's not enough. Amen? And so I'm praying for that person today. Some of you need to make some decisions for change. Amen? There's some changes that some people sitting in this room, some people watching online, you need to make. And so I'm praying today that God would help us. It seems like whenever the writers of the New Testament want to talk about faith, they always want to talk about one man. You know, I said to you just a couple of weeks ago, that for me, somebody say for Pastor, for me, I believe that it would go down that Noah is the greatest example of faith in the Bible. How many of you heard me say that? I believe he is. But it seems like everybody else that I talk to always at least understands that when you talk about faith, you cannot overlook the man Abraham. You just can't, all right? And why do you think so? You know, they call him the father of the faith. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at what Paul said. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. So also Abraham, the Bible says, believed God, and it says that it was credited to him as righteousness. And then Paul says to the church at Galatia, understand this then, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Did you catch that? Those of you, all of you in this room who have faith, you are considered to be a child of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Come on. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. And I don't care if I ever sing that song again. Come on. We sang that thing to death. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Right arm, left arm, head in, head out, Father Abraham. And some of you are saying, what is that song? I never heard it. That's because you're too young, okay? You're just too young. But we're considered children of Abraham. Look at verse number 9. So then, those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. And he ascribes the title to him, Paul does, the what? The man of faith. Abraham was the man. He was a man of faith. Abraham is considered that man of faith and is consistently known as the father of the faith, the epitome of the faith, because Abraham set the precedent. He's kind of like the poster boy for faith. Come on. Abraham. He was a living example of faith's definition. He was the epitome of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm repeating myself. I've been preaching on this now for 5 weeks. And God has deposited into my spirit messages on faith. And we're going to, you say, Pastor, when's this series in? I don't know. When you get it, I'll move on, okay? All right? Okay? As long as we keep seeing people saved, you know, we may be preaching on faith all year long. I don't know. I don't plan to, but I'm preaching on faith. Amen? Why? Because faith is, according to Hebrews 11, 1, the Bible says faith is confidence. Somebody say confidence. Of what we hoping for. This brother's hoping for a facility. What is he doing? He's walking in what? Faith. When we sat down to the table that day, he already had a download from the Holy Spirit on what God had placed in his heart, that by faith he would have a piece of property. By faith he would have a building. By faith he will have staff to run the organization. It's all by faith. And God will honor your faith, my friend. He will. Be it as unto you. It's a done deal, amen? I'm going to wait on you, amen? I've trusted your goodness. I rest in your favor, your confidence, your kindness, that it's going to happen, okay? And so God's going to do it. Now, faith is the confidence of what we hope for, an assurance of what we do not see. Abraham epitomized this definition. Abraham was faith, here we go, personified. What an amazing testimony. He was a man of faith. And the reason that he is this. He's going without knowing. Amen? He's walking and he's moving and he's going without really knowing all the details. I've repeated myself with intention in this series of messages. And there's some things I just don't want you to forget. And one of them is this. Faith does what? Faith hears the inaudible. Things that no one else hears, by faith you can hear. Things that no one else can see. Faith sees the invisible. Did you see a facility sitting on that property? I did, okay? I did by faith. Right now, it just looks like a vast array of vegetation. I think I saw some corn growing in the background, beautiful hills of Swaziland in the rear. Man, I'd love to have a facility out there. Amen? But you see it by faith. And then faith does the impossible. You know, it would be nice if God put together a crowd of 50 men, 50 key leaders, and God spoke to all 50 of them, but God didn't do that. He just said, hey, I look for one among them, okay? God looked for one among them, and he found that one who's standing faithful to fulfill what God's called him to do. Hebrews 11, 8, by faith, Abraham, when called, here we go, to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. All the details of the life of Abraham. I love the way this story is laid out. All the details of the life of Abraham are recounted for us in the book of Genesis, 14 chapters. It starts in verse 12 and ends in verse 25. That's a lot of chapters for the life of Abraham. But think about this. The first 11 chapters, Genesis, the first 11 chapters of the book of Beginnings span a historical set of numbers reaching 2,000 years. Okay? You read 11 chapters of Genesis, And you've just read the history of 2,000 years. Come on, man. 2,000 years. We've been through some of them just in weeks past, talking about men like Enoch and Noah. 2,000 years of history in the first 11 chapters. Then we take 14 chapters and zero in on the life of one man, this man named Abraham. It reads like this, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. The Lord, notice what it says, the Lord had said. Didn't just say said, the Lord had said. That's a time mark for us. He said, what did he say to him? He said, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's house to the land I will show you. Why didn't he just say, hey, leave your father's house and go to the land I'll show you? He gives detail here. He said, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your people, and I want you to leave your father's house. And when the Abram story begins, God had called out to Abram. Notice this verse. It says, the Lord had said to Abram. Abram was, at this time when God spoke to him, was 65 years old. Okay? This is important because it helps us to understand Abram's journey here. Some time has passed here. Genesis says the Lord had said to Abram. Okay? So some time has passed. He was living in Ur of the Chaldees. And he doesn't really respond as quickly as God the Father would have wanted him to respond. It's Stephen of the New Testament who said this in the book of Acts, chapter 7. He was speaking to the Sanhedrin, which is a court system in that day. He was speaking to the Sanhedrin, and he says this, Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 5. Brothers and sisters, testimony is this. Listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. See, even then, they would consider Abraham what? The father of the faith. He said the God of glory appeared to him while he was in Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization. For those of you who studied beyond high school, you understand this. He was in the cradle of civilization here, the Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, okay? Leave your country, the Lord had said to him, and your people, and go to the land I'll show you, verse number 3. Verse number 4, so he left the land of where the Chaldeans, Ur of the Chaldees, and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to the land where he's now living. Notice something happened that significantly impacted Abraham's life. What happened? Papa passed away. How many of you have lost your father? Knowing that things have changed significantly for you since you lost your dad. Okay? So something significant happened here. After the death of his father, then God sent him to the land where you are now living. Okay? He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time, Abraham didn't even have a child, no little Abe. No children. God gave him a promise, but no kid. I share this because there was about, I want you to understand this, it was about a 10-year period, Hersey, where Abraham just kind of chilled, okay? He didn't really move out and fulfill what God had said for him to do. 10 years. My question for you, has God spoken something to you and you still ain't done nothing about it? Has God deposited something into your heart that you know because you know because you know that God wants you to do this or God wants you to take this step of faith and you haven't done anything yet? Okay? In fact, there's probably people sitting in this room today that God spoke things to you and it was years ago and for you it's still just a thought. Okay? You have to understand that Abram had not always served the God of Israel. Joshua tells us this in his farewell address. If you scroll the tape 400 years ahead, Joshua chapter 24, verse number 2, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, he's talking about Abraham's family here, and Nahor lived beyond the Euphrates River, and I'm sad to say what he said about him, but what does he say? They served other gods. Okay? They served other gods. There was a time in the life of this epitome of faith, this man who heard from the living God, this man who responded to the voice of God. There was a time when he did not serve the one true God, but he worshiped other gods.
Abram grew up serving pagan gods. And the Bible tells us this, but God Almighty, Yahweh, spoke to him. Remember, Stephen said, the God of glory appeared to Abram. And he said, the God of glory appeared to him and said, go to the land that I will show you. So 10 years passes as God has spoken to him, yet Abram really hasn't done anything. Sometimes that's the case. God speaks to our hearts. Some of you are hearing me today. You know that God's been speaking to you. You know that God's been trying to get your attention. Some of you are pregnant with possibilities. Can I say that to you? Some of you are pregnant with possibilities that you've been holding on to, and you haven't done anything about it yet. Some of you have dreamed, oh, if I could just do this, or if I could just do that. You're pregnant with potential and pregnant with possibility, but you ain't done nothing yet. Listen, don't beat yourself up. Abraham did the same thing. We call this human reality. Sometimes God speaks to us and we just kind of, you know, first thing, we got to convince ourselves that we could really do that. How many businesses are sitting in this room that you're sitting there and you thought about it, but you still ain't done nothing about it? How many books have been written? How many songs have been written? How many things have been accomplished in your mind, but you haven't proceeded to move forward yet? Some of y'all are smiling at me like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Somebody said, man, he is reading my mail. Okay? You know, God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to draw you to himself, but you don't do anything. You don't respond to him. You don't understand that he's trying to lead your life. He's trying to guide your life. As a matter of fact, I was in the service as well. I heard the Lord prophetically say just a few moments ago that he sent the earnest of the Spirit of God to do what? To lead you, to guide you, to direct you. And it is him, God Almighty, who spoke these things into your life. Why would you not move? Amen. Why would you not take the step of faith? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God, the basileia, the rule, the domain. Seek first his kingdom, his rulership in your life. And all these things will stack up as well, will be added to you as well. And so we follow the life of this man of faith, and we see that God had called him out, God called out to him. God had spoken to him. And Genesis 12 reminds us that he has sovereignly said to Abram, Genesis 12:1-9, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make your name great. Now, here's some things God begins to release. If you step, Abraham, if you move out in faith, what I'll do is I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Now, finally, Abraham's beginning to do something. He was 65 when God said that. Now, how old is he? Abraham was 75 years old. Pastor, we just saw where you got your math from, okay? 10 years. So Abraham's finally getting this. He was 10 years later when he finally set out for Haran, which is in the southern part of what we call today the nation of Turkey. Okay? And he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated. How many of y'all got stuff? Come on. He stacked up all of his stuff and took it with him. And they set out for the land of Canaan because God has revealed to him that's where you're going. And they arrived there. Let me help you understand something here. You can kind of look at Abraham like a sheik, okay? Some of you say, man, what are you talking about? A sheik? A sheik is a ruler. A sheik is a man of influence. Matter of fact, I remember sitting in Dubai in an airport one time. I sat in Dubai, and tiny little dot on the earth, but one of the richest representations, wealth on the earth. I sat in the coffee shop and I was looking. I like to look around airports when I get an overlay somewhere. And I'm looking around airports and they had, you know, little trinkets for sale. Rolex watches, $35,000, $40,000. Just walking around the airport. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, where am I at? Dubai. They didn't have Timexes for sale there. They only had Rolex. Could I see that one?
Are you interested? No, I just want to see it, okay? All right. I just want to say that I had one in my hand, okay? And I'm looking around the airport, and there are Muslim sheikhs sitting there sipping their beverages in pure white linen robes, sitting there talking about oil business, you know, just little things in life. Can I just help you here for a second? We're talking about Abraham. Abraham was a type of sheikh, okay? Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham, listen, he's a man. He didn't just take himself. Listen, God said, Abraham, I want you, notice what God said to him, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your family, your father's household, I want you to leave all of this. Abraham left, but he drug it all with him. And the Bible tells us that Abraham had himself an army, a small army of 318 men. He had enough to sustain him and the army. Abraham was a wealthy man. 318 soldiers and their families. He has all of these military vehicles. We call them camels, okay? This is a guy, listen, this is a guy who had some stuff, okay? He's well established. So I know you got it in his mind, in your mind, that God says to Abraham, this gray-haired man, you know, with a long beard and a robe, leave your country. You thought he was just talking about him, right? Well, that's what he was talking about. But when Abraham leaves, he takes them all with him. And he even took his nephew, what was his name? Lot, which created a problematic story. You have to read that on your own. It would have been better off if he'd have just cut his ties and done what, Pastor Mike? Left. Just left. But he took it all with him. And then he sat on the promise for 10 years. And I know they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But God didn't give him, God didn't say, hey, wait on me. God said what? Leave. Okay? God said, go. And he said, when you take the step to go, I'll do what? I'll show you where you're going. The title of the message is what? Going without knowing, okay? Going without knowing. So the Bible says that at that time the Canaanites were in the land. He traveled as far as he could to the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. Now we're out of Turkey, and where are we? We're in the land of promise, okay? We're in that Bible land. We're in that beautiful area in the Bible. At that time, the Bible says the Canaanites were in the land. He's moved. 10 years have passed, but now he's already taken up camp, and he's moved. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, had a time of worship, called in the worship team. From there, he went on toward the hills of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. Today I want to extract some principles very quickly for you. Some principles to us from the Abraham story that I think will help us all to understand something about monumental faith. The first of which I would say is this. When God wants to accomplish something in your life, he will often say to you, leave. Leave one church, go to another. When God is up to something, you may say, well, listen, man, I've been serving here for 5 or 6 years. I've been here for 10 years. Why would I leave? When God wants to accomplish something supernatural in your life, oftentimes he will begin with leave. Okay? Leave. Leave what's comfortable for you and take a step of faith with me. Leave what is predictable. Ah, that gets a lot of us, don't it? Leave what you can count on. How many times have you been set up with opportunities to move in your employment, and now you're making a set salary of $700 a week or $1,000 a week, but you got this new opportunity that you've always been dreaming about, and you, God, if you'll just give me the opportunity to do this, and you get the opportunity to do it, and you understand that it is not a salaried position, everything you do will be by commission only. And so you didn't take the job. Why? I need something I can count on, okay? how many of y'all said that besides me? Come on, I'll just be honest and tell you I've said that before. I'm just going to stay here because
At least I know what I got, okay? But you, do you know what you could have had? Okay? Do you know what you could have had? If you'd have only listened to the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is what God said to Abraham. You're gonna have to leave. You're going to have to go. You're going to get out of where you are. Listen, monumental faith is being willing to walk a walk with a different perspective. It's uncharted. The territory is unfamiliar. It is unpredictable. You're going to have to take a risk. You're going to walk with God like Enoch did. You're going to follow the directives of the Lord. I remember one of the first things I learned in Bible college, the definition of insanity. I went to the first class I signed up for, psych of adjustment. I'm a freshman in college, and the first lecture they talked about is the definition of insanity. And for those of you who've sat in the college classroom, you're familiar with this. Insanity is what? Doing the same thing that you've always done and expecting different results. I remember throwing up on the wall that day a picture of a hamster on a wheel. Man stroking it for all he's worth and going nowhere. Okay? That's insanity. Expecting that I'm going to move forward when I don't do anything different. Wouldn't it have been nice if he'd have just stopped, taken his little paws, stretched open the wire cage, and got out and started running? But he didn't. He just kept running on the wheel. What a boring life. What a boring life. Just running around and around and around and around and around, doing the same thing, but yet expecting to move forward. It's not going to happen. God wants better for you. Listen, 3 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health. We usually stop right there. God says he wants me to prosper. He wants me to be in good health. But there's a part to it that says what? Even as your soul prospers. Your soul prospers. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions prospers because you're growing in the things of God. And God wants you to prosper in your life. And God wants better for you. So sometimes he will come along to you and he'll say, listen, I want you to leave. For some of you, that may be leaving today a life of unrighteousness and hitching up to a life of righteousness found in Christ Jesus. You're doing what you're doing and you're getting nowhere. But if you link up with Jesus Christ and his kingdom, he's already said it, if you put me first, everything will happen as it should happen. Seek me first, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put him first. Put him first, and he'll take care of it. God wants you to have better. So he says to you, leave. For some of you, it might not be leaving unrighteousness and moving to righteousness. It might be leaving an unhealthy relationship. Wow. I'm not talking about married people. If you run into a problem in your marriage, what do? You get counsel. You get godly wisdom and counsel because you stood at the altar and you said, until when? Until death do us part. So I'm not talking when I say, hey, maybe you're in a relationship that you should leave. Some of you walk out here and say, oh, I heard from the Lord today. I'm going to leave my husband. No. No, you don't leave your husband. Don't you dare place that lie on me. I'm talking to people who are together. Hang on to your hat. You're together, but you're not married. You're having sex together. You're sleeping together, but you ain't got the license to do it. Ah. Now we're talking. Well, he's picking on me because he knows that I'm here, and he knows we're not married. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, talk to people like Hersey. I remember the day when Hersey and Diane were sitting right here, and the Spirit of God spoke to them. And you know what they did? They got up and came to an altar and said, you know what I'm going to do? Pastor, we want to get married. And you know what happened? The congregation began to clap their hands, and somebody was sitting in the back, and she comes running down the side of the church, down the wall, and I said, how can we pray for you today? She said, I want to do what they're going to do. And they got married. Man, that's mighty weak. Come on. I can tell you in one particular calendar year in this church, Carpenter Shop International Church, I can tell you where six couples who were living together came to me one by one and said, Pastor, we want to get married. Okay? I've heard people say, oh, I want you to meet my fiance. Oh, really? I didn't know you were engaged. How long y'all been together? 14 years.
Man, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Fiancés are for weeks and months, not years. Okay? What are you thinking? Come on. Corey, come on, man. Help me here, bro. Corey's laughing over here. I'm just telling you the truth. He said, Pastor, I wish you'd get off this subject. I ain't. I'm not getting off of it. I'm not getting off of it. You know why? Because you need to hear it. You need to hear it. You need to hear the truth. You don't need to hear me tickle you with some, oh, if, you know, God knows your heart. Yes, he does. He knows your heart. I'm afraid he does. Listen, if you're laying together with somebody, that's wrong anyway. That's called fornication. If you don't have a ring on your finger, it don't have to be an expensive ring. I got a silicone one, Walmart, 3 for $10. Okay? My wife gave me 2 gold ones, and I wore them out. I've had this little silicone ring on for a number of years now. But you don't need to be laying down with anybody that you're not married to. In fact, if you're not married, you don't lay down. Keep your clothes on, sir. And if you get to the position where you're getting ready to come out of them, do like Joseph did. Leave the jacket and get out of town. Come on. All right? So God may be saying to you that are sitting here this morning, listen, I need you to leave. I remember counseling a couple one day in my office. They want to talk about getting married. I said, so, you know, let me look at the calendar here. We're talking about the date. I said, so what's your situation right now? So he said, well, you know, we're living together right now. I said, come on, man. I'm sitting in my office. I said, come on, you're living together? He said, yeah. I said, well, the first thing I want you to do is this. I said, I want you to turn to your fiance. And I want you to apologize to her. He said, what? I said, I want you to turn to her and apologize to her for what you did. And then I want you to go home. He looked at me and said, you talking about at my mama's house? I said, yeah. He said, like, he looked at me like, man, I'm grown. I said, look, if you don't have anywhere else to go, go back to your mama's house. Okay? And I know this young man for a fact. I know what he did. He left that day. And he went back home and stayed at his mother's house for 6 weeks. And at the wedding that day, when it was all over with and they were cleaning up and people were getting ready to leave, he came to me and said, man, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. I said, for what? He said, I want to thank you for the day we sat in your office. He said, you told me that if I would do this, that when I got married on that day, and that's this day, that I would feel and she would feel just like she was a virgin. And tears came down his face, and he said, you know what? That's exactly the way we feel. Thank you, Pastor Wallace, for telling me, here we go, the truth. Okay? So, some of you, listen, I don't pick the details of these sermons, okay? You say, well, you know, he knows I'm not married, so that's what. No, 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 no. You let the devil tell you I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching to you, okay? I'm preaching to all of us. Some of you, what I said was 5 minutes ago, some of you may be in an unhealthy relationship that you need to get out of. Well, I ain't got nowhere to go. Come see me. I'll help you find a place. Okay? You're justifying where you are, and you will justify your sin. The devil will give you every opportunity to justify your sin. Well, we intending on it. Yeah, I understand. I understand intentions. Just do it. Borrow from Nike. Just do it. Okay? Just do it. Just get out of there. And God, watch this, God will honor your step of what? Faith. You say, well, I ain't got nowhere to go. I told you, call me, okay? I'll help you find somewhere to go, okay? But get out of that relationship that you're in that you know full well that you shouldn't be in. Why? Because it's not a godly situation, okay? Not a godly situation. Some of you, God may be asking you to leave a habit. Now listen, I just said to you a few minutes ago, when God wants to do something supernatural in your life, he sometimes will ask you to do what? Leave. Leave a bad habit that's not good for you. For some of us, it may be leaving a job or a career and stepping into the thing that has always been deep inside your heart. No matter what the leaving is, it's a step of faith. Verse 1 of Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land where I will show you. I want you to remember that 10 years, Abraham was in some sort of limbo here. And we see him move from age 65 to 75, and we know that he did leave his home, but look, he didn't leave his father's household. He dragged all of the Clampets with him. He sure did. He drug them all. Loaded up everything. Loaded up all the men, all the tents, all the animals. Loaded up everything and took off. God said, leave! Okay? And he took everyone with him. And that could be the reason. That could be the reason that he wasted 10 years. What I say to happened to his father just a little while ago? His father died. Now, I can get along with life. I can get on. Are y'all hearing this? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying here? Son, listen, don't let other people hold back your destiny. Don't let other people cause you to jeopardize your future because you're clinging on to relationships that you should have left a long time ago. Maybe that's why Jesus says to us in the New Testament, let a father leave, let a man leave his father and his mother and do what? Cleave unto his wife. I know some men who've never left mama yet. I said, I know some men who've never left their mama yet, okay? They still go home all the time. They still eating all of her food. They still won't do nothing. They still won't provide for themselves. I know grown men who are still living at home. And Jesus said clearly what? Leave. Leave. Well, I don't have anybody to marry. Well, get out on your own and God will raise up somebody for you to marry, okay? But take care of yourself, you trifling thing. Come on. Take care of yourself. Don't depend on your mom and daddy all your life. Why are y'all laughing at me? I'm just preaching the gospel to you, okay? Pastor Rico said something the other day about filming. He said, man, we need to get some of those things that you say. I said, what you talking about? He said, like I've heard you use the word trifling, so you missed it. If you didn't get it, you missed it, man. Okay? I'm just being honest with you guys. Listen, I'm going to tell you what? The truth. I'm going to tell you the reality of things. Some of you just need to leave. Leave. Leave a situation that's not desirable and leave unto God's plan for you. Okay? We know that Abraham did leave. He did leave and he took his family, and that's another story. You can read it later. There's something else I notice about this instruction. This is so cool. Look at the order that God gives to Abraham. He says, I want you to leave your country. That's big, okay? That's like, Lord spoke to me and told me he wanted me to leave the United States. That's pretty huge. But then he says, I want you to leave your people. You know, that's your family. That's your neighbors, your county. I want you to leave them people. And that's still pretty good-sized territory. Well, I think we're going to move to Edgecombe County. You know what I'm talking about. But then he says, I want you to leave your father's house. That's backwards. Have you noticed that? Country, people, father's house. He gave it to him in a reverse order. I mean, if you leave, you leave the house first, then you leave the neighborhood, then you leave the state, okay? That's the normal way. But according to Jewish rabbis, here we go. According to Jewish rabbis, when God wants to indicate to someone that there is a spiritual lesson to be learned here, he will often do something in reverse order to spark truth in their mind. Okay? So he gives it to them in the reverse order. Ah, this is a spiritual undertaking. This is something that God wants to do in my life spiritually. Okay? And it's a whole lot easier to say, I'm going to leave the country. Where are you going? I don't know. Maybe Zimbabwe, leaving the country, that's big. But if you say, hey, man, I'm selling my house, 200 Chowan Trail, Edenton, that's a big thing, but it's a whole lot more simple than saying I'm leaving the United States. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? So there's something to be said here. Listen, when God wants to do something supernatural in your life, he's going to say, leave. The essence of the matter is this. God is doing something of a spiritual nature in the life of Abraham. He's called him from a pagan background, we shared that with you, to a life of following the one true God, and this will be a game changer for his entire life. This will release the blessings upon his life. This will set him up for the life that God intended for him. Listen, it will take faith. But when God wants to accomplish something in my life and your life, sometimes he will say, leave. Okay? Secondly, when God tells you to leave, he doesn't always tell you where to go. Okay? He just said, leave. Have you ever gone through a season in your life where you just know because you know because you know that God has said, listen, I want you to leave that job. Okay? But you think, God, what? I mean, look, what do you mean? You just said, man, I can't explain it. Come on, y'all, help me here. Have you ever had that situation where you were with somebody? You were dating, you were spending time together, and the Holy Spirit just put it on your heart, man, she's not the one. But you've been together for weeks or months or maybe even years, and God says, this is not the one. And then you have to tell her, or you have to tell him, and you're sitting there having dinner, and he or she says, are you okay? And you say, no, I'm not. Well, what's going on? And you have to just be honest with him and say, hey, I just think that you and I need to chill. I just think that we need to have some time. Some of y'all look at me like, yeah, I've been there. Okay, come on, come on. I know what you're talking about. You did that. That's hard. And sometimes God will tell you that. He told you to leave, but he didn't tell you what was next, okay? Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, underscored this for you, even though he did not know where he was going. What's the title of the message today? Going without knowing, okay? I want to submit to you that it takes a lot to go today, even when you know where you're going, okay? It takes a lot to go, man. Think about it. I mean, have you taken a trip lately? Come on. Hotels, meals, gas, food, I mean, lodging, you know, things that you do along the way. Man, you know what? You better have some cash or some credit card with you when you take off to go somewhere. Okay? So it takes a lot to go even when you know where you're going. Imagine when you're asked or instructed by God to leave and go somewhere and you don't know where you're going. No GPS, no Google Maps, no paper maps, no nothing. Gee, thanks God, you got me on a journey where I have no idea where I'm going, but I trust you in faith. You say leave, but you don't tell me where to go. It's going without knowing. This is really about calling. Calling. What is a calling? Because I would say to you before I read the definition, calling is on every one of your lives. Everyone. When you come out of your lifestyle of not serving God and you sign up for the plan of Calvary and, you know, crucifying your own plans and living under his plan, then you step into a divine assignment. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? You step into a divine understanding that God is now leading my life. God is now directing my life. God is now signaling to me what to do, where to go, how to do this. It's calling. Calling is what? A divinely ordained reason for what? For being, that God has for every believer so that you can do two things, be blessed and be a blessing. God just doesn't call you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel so you can be blessed. He calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel so that you can be blessed, so that you can do what? Be a blessing. Come on. You can be a blessing. Faith results in God working in us, and faith results in God working through us. Thank you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are what? We are God's handiwork. One translation says what? Masterpiece.
We are God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works, by the way, parenthetically here, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He planned this before you even a thought. God planned it. Your life would be redeemed by Jesus Christ's blood on the cross of Calvary, and you would find and discover purpose in your life, and your life would move forward, and you would indeed be blessed, but you would also be a blessing to someone else in this life. Can you say amen? God wants you to be a blessing. You say, Pastor, man, you're laying a lot on me. I just want to be blessed. Well, if you'll change your perspective, I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. That'll change the game for you. That'll change the game for you. Happens so often. I was in a restaurant not too long ago. I told Pastor Joy about this the other day. Just reminded her. She knew it had happened. But I said, isn't God amazing? I was sitting in a restaurant and I was eating. And I was doing what I always do when I go into a restaurant and eat. I was saying, okay, God, who do you want me to take care of? Okay. How many of y'all know food's high? Some of you say, man, I just want to pay for my own meal, okay? No, I'm sitting there eating. I'm thinking, okay, who can I bless? And so I look across the restaurant, and I find me a couple. And I say, okay, I'm going to take care of them. So the waitress comes back to the table. She says, yes, sir. I said, see a couple sitting, you know, over there. And she said, yeah. I said, I want to take care of their meal. She smiled at me. She said, they already took care of yours. Okay. They already took care of yours, okay? Listen, you're blessed, friends. Don't miss this. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. Pastor Joy knows this to be true. There's one restaurant that we frequent sometime, and this is the gospel truth. There's been times that my bill was like, you know, $15 and some change, and I leave the waitress a $20 tip. You say, man, you lost your mind. I leave a dollar. There's people sitting in this room. Y'all are chintzy. Some of y'all are chintzy. You get up and you leave a dollar. I've seen people do it. I mean, look at that guy left a dollar. Come on, what are you doing? This is their living, okay? So we sit there and we eat a $15 meal and leave a $20 tip. Listen, don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate here. I'm telling you the truth. This is what we do. I've been in restaurants sometime and God say, hey, give her $50. $50, God, give her $50. I went through a drive-thru in McDonald's just a few weeks ago and got a half and half tea and a biscuit or something. And she says, like, $6.95. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give that girl $20. And so I gave her my card for the meal, and then I gave her a $20 bill. She said, you already paid. I said, no, I didn't. She said, what? I said, I paid for the meal, but I said, that's for you. She said, oh, my God. She said, are you serious? This is a drive-thru. I said, it doesn't matter. You got the right customer that came through the drive-thru today. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Come on. Be blessed in Jesus' name. My wife used to do this. She doesn't do this anymore, but she used to text me, hey, I gave so-and-so $100. I gave so-and-so $50. I hope you're okay with that. Hey, I'm not worried about anything like that. Do it. She don't tell me anymore. She just does it. Why? Because she knows it's okay. She knows that that's a part of who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. Come on, somebody. God wants you to be a blessing. That's the whole purpose. God blesses you so that you can literally be a conduit for his Holy Ghost power to flow through. Come on. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to what? To do good things, which he prepared in advance for us to do. God's telling Abraham in Genesis 12 that he wants him to go. Look at Genesis 12, 1 and 2. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. Amen. God says, if you trust me for my direction, my plan is twofold. You're a blessing. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be a blessing. And here's the great thing. You're also going to be a blessing. I want you to look at the response of Abraham when he finally got it. Hebrews 11:8. Here we go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Some of y'all say, man, he's reading these verses over and over and over again. I'm doing it intentionally, okay? I hadn't lost my horse here. I know where I'm at. I want you to get this. The Bible says he would go to a place later, receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Look at what I underlined here. He obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. I underscored it for you. It's obeyed and went. Listen, 10 years passed by in this cat's house, okay? 10 years. And there came a time when Abram heard God clearly. He reached a place where he just did what? Obeyed and went. That's a phrase here for scholars in the house. Let me tell you, if you study the Bible like this, you'll study and find out that in the Greek language, you know, we know what a verb is. It's an action word, and we know that you got past, present, and future tense. But if you're in the Greek language, you're in a different language. They have what's called the present participle. And this is a word right here, obeyed and went. It is in what scholars say is the present participle, which means boom, okay? It means it happened when? Right then. The Bible says he did what? Obeyed and went, all in the same action. Don't think about it when God says something to you. Just do it. Just do it. Nike again. What is their phrase? Just do it. You know what the word Nike means? Anybody? Look it up. Happy victory. Check. Okay. Happy victory. Just do it. Don't waste time thinking about it. Don't try to evaluate and analyze it, because you know what? When God speaks to you, hear this, don't miss this. When God speaks to you, some of you will analyze and think about it and calculate it and assess it, and you'll do everything to it till you will talk yourself out of doing God's will. Come on here. You'll talk yourself out of it. The phrase lends itself to what we understand is he obeyed and went. Ivan was immediate. When he was 75, the light came on. The Lord reminded him of his calling, and he said, time to go. The longer you wait to obey the voice of God in your life, the less likely you are to act on it. Let me say that one more time. The longer you wait to obey the voice of God in your life, the less likely you are to act upon it. There is an urgency to what God says to you. The delay in doing what calls you to do will result in a lack of the intensity of the calling that God has placed on your life. The more you think about it, the more you weigh it, the more you assess it, then there's a likelihood that you might not do what God has asked you to do. Okay? You might not do what God has asked you to do. So when he speaks, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, in the next few weeks, you're going to be faced with opportunities right here in this church. I met with leadership just a week or so ago, and I said, hey, guys, we're running out of parking spaces. We need to do something here in the back. You know, we're talking about a $40,000, $45,000 job, and God's made provision where it's going to be a lot less for us than this. And I'm thinking, you know what, man, we got these pews. They've been in here a long time. We need better seating. You'll see a set of chairs out there in the foyer. They're there for a reason. They're there for you to say, hey, what's them chairs about? Them chairs. How many of y'all seen them chairs sitting in the foyer? They're theater chairs. They're nice chairs. Sit down in one, because you're going to buy some. Okay? You're going to buy some. You're going to buy some chairs. And, you know, I begin to think about this, and I think, well, you know, I don't know if they'll get excited about this or not. Listen. The Holy Spirit dropped it in your heart. Better seating. And then we need to, you know, God, we need a new roof on the church. It's been there 21 years, you know. We got a couple of leaks here and there. Put a new roof on the church. You know what that takes? Faith. It takes faith. We'll spend $150,000 on the church here in the next few months. Why? Because you're sitting here. And we're going to do it together. If any one person had to write it, it would be like, hey, you know what? Hey. We need to get a loan, you know. No. We don't need to get a loan. We're going to do it together. Because if everybody pitches in and everybody does what God says for them to do, God may speak to you right now and say, hey, just give $1,000, okay? God may speak to you and say, hey, give $5,000. Have you ever given anything of any substance away before? Some of you might not have given away $1,000 before. You ought to try it sometime. It really feels good. Amen? Just give away $1,000. Give it to the work of the Lord. Give it to a missionary. Give it to a building in Swaziland. Just give away $1,000 and see how it makes you feel. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will I cause men to do what? Pour into your lap. Pastor, how come you can go into a restaurant and want to sit there and pay for somebody else's meal? Because mine's been paid for too many times for me not to do that. Amen? And I'm keeping my pipes clean. I don't want to have open heart surgery on my giving, okay? I don't want my arteries to be clogged. I want to make sure I'm giving always. Why? So that it will be constantly given back to me. Amen? I don't want clogged arteries when it comes to finances. I want to give. Okay? Just want to give. I've given to people before and they say, what's that for? And I say, because. What's this for, Pastor? Because. I've given money to my kids. Why are you doing this, Dad? Because I can. Not because you need it. All my three of my kids are successful, have great paying jobs. All of them have beautiful homes. They don't need my money. I just give them something because I can. Okay? You serve a father who's the same way, okay? Where do you think I got it from? His character. Okay? Some of you are living very tight because you're tight yourself. Some of you are living on meager fare because you're tight and you're chintzy with God's money. There's Rico laughing again. It's just true. You ought to break that thing in your life. Say, you know what, I'm going to take pastor. Listen, I take God at his word. Test me in this, he says, and see if I will not throw open. I remember the first time I ever studied that principle, Pastor Mike was the one who told me. He said, have you ever noticed that God doesn't say he'll just open the windows? He says, I'll throw them open. It was about 10 years ago. I was sitting in a teaching of his. He says, God, can you just see God going over there and say, throw that window open. Bless this guy. Okay? He didn't with any hesitancy. He throws the windows open. And pours out blessings that you got so much blessing coming your way, there's not room enough to contain it. Okay? Some of y'all need a breakthrough. And you need to leave the life of being stingy and start being a blessing to people. And you will see it come back. Okay? The pastor must need some money. He's preaching on money a lot. No, I got more than what I need. I do. I got more than what I need. All my bills are paid. I got food on the table. Can't you see? Okay. Okay. I got it. I got food on the table. I got more than what I need. God has blessed me. You know why? Because I see to it that I do what he asked me to do. Okay. Come on, give the Lord praise today. If it is God that is asking you to leave, it doesn't really matter where you're going. I said, if it is God that is asking you to leave, it doesn't really matter where you're going. I remember a Bible college professor, Pastor Mike, you'll appreciate this, Pat and Charles Estridge, Dr. Charles Estridge. He preached the book of Acts. He taught the book of Acts when I was in Bible college. That man sweat under his arm the size of a basketball at every service. He preached a house down in classroom every day. His classes would run over because the Holy Ghost would move. The bell rang. People supposed to leave. Man, God just moving in power. And he taught some amazing. Matter of fact, he's in Africa today. Spent the last 15 years in Africa. A Bible college president. He was president of Rod Parsley's Bible College for a number of years. Dr. Charles Estridge, he said one day something that I've never forgotten. He said this. He said, if God's called you into ministry to pastor a church, some of this will shake some of you's faith, but just you'll get over it. He said, if God's called you to pastor a church, it really doesn't matter which church you pastor. Okay. He said, now some of y'all hold on to your seat here. Some of you say, well, God called me to a Husky. Well, God called. He said, now there are those times. You can study the life of Paul. And Paul said, you know, I just really need to be here. There are those distinct moments when God calls you to spot A for a reason. But he said, I'm just submitting to you. If God's call to be a pastor is on your life, it really doesn't matter where you go, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So if God tells you to leave, it really doesn't matter where you're going. Just do what he says. I told you recently that God had called Joy and I in the ministry. I told you about the Florida trip. We took our little kids there. It was faith. It was going, not knowing. Matter of fact, I lived in Northampton County. And God told us to go to Florida. I had only been to Florida one time at 12 years old. My dad took me to see Mickey Mouse. I went to Disney World one time at age 12. Here I am, a grown man with two kids, and the Lord says, I want you to go to Florida. I didn't have an internet to go to. I didn't have Google Maps. I didn't have anything like that. I didn't have a catalog. I didn't have internet to go to. I just knew because I knew that God said, go to Florida. So I loaded up everything I had on the truck. I had $700 in a pickle jar and a freezer full of food and an extension cord long enough to reach into the hotel. And we left. And when I got there, things kind of come unglued. It wasn't working out right, you know. It was just like, I thought we had this. I thought we had the apartment. And that's a long story. I'm not going to belabor that today. But I'm just going to tell you, it was a walk of faith. It was a walk of faith. I know what it's like to sit at a table with my kids crying because of what we're eating. I remember my son Josh, who's 40 years old today, I remember him saying, I said, son, why are you crying? He said, because all we ever have is beans. That's all we ever have. And I said, well, eat them. They're good. What's for dessert? Popcorn. Are you getting the picture here? I couldn't do better than beans and popcorn. I was doing the best I could do, Ivan. I was trying to feed my family. You've taken steps of faith before. You've been down this trail before. You know what this is like. I was doing the very, and that works on a dad, man, who's supposed to be provider. Come on. That works on a dad, but I was doing the best. We were living in a 600-square-foot apartment. Okay? You choose to either open the refrigerator door or the stove door. No two at the same time, okay? They're going to jam to each other. It was a small place. We had a table for two, okay? One small table. It was a challenging time. But all we heard was God say, go. That's what we did. God said, go. So we were going to go. And God was teaching us and training us and molding us and shaping us to be the people of God that he's called us to be. But God told us to leave. So we left. He didn't really tell us anything about the ordeals that we would run into, but we still left. And I'm just submitting to you this morning that this is the truth. When God tells you to leave, he doesn't always give you the details. Thirdly, when God calls you in faith to him, he gives you promises that will encourage you. Okay? He gives you promises. I'm going to wait on you. Man, that song blessed me this morning. That was my sermon in a song. You hear me? I listened to the words of that song, and I had never listened to it so closely and intently before. But that song, listen to it this afternoon. Pull it up on Apple Music. Pull it up on Google, whatever you have to do. But listen to the words of that song, and you will get a replay of this sermon. When God calls you to faith in him, he gives you promises that will encourage you. Faith becomes exciting when God packages the journey with promises. When Joy and I moved to Florida in faith, he placed people in our lives to help us along the way. Neighbors, friends, co-workers, church family, older couples who love college students. And we walked around the lake and alligators. It's so much fun to be at work and your wife call you and say, honey, you got to do something. There's a 4-foot alligator on the doorstep. I can't get out of the house. That's fun. That happened. It was exciting. God made the journey so dramatic sometimes. Tropical birds, 29-cent hamburgers on Sunday down the street. We could walk down there and get a meal for 29 cents. And the list goes on. We were blessed. We were blessed. We look back now and we describe those days as what kind of days? The best days of our lives. Why? Because God was molding us and shaping us and releasing promises to us to say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It might be a 29-cent hamburger, but Wallace, I ask you to go and you came, and I'm going to assure you that I will be with you. And his Bible says he'll be with us even to the end of the age. He will not forsake you. He will not forsake you. Because he's your father. Man, we're living in Florida. We want to go to Disney World. Do you know how much it costs to get into Disney World? $100 a person. God gave us tickets to Disney World for $5 a piece. We got free tickets to Cypress Gardens. God blessed us immeasurably. Because we couldn't do it without his miracles. He's always kept his promises. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that's at work within us. God always has promises to encourage us. Look at the promises he gave to Abraham. Hey man, I want you to leave. Not going to show you the place, but here's what's attached to it. Genesis chapter 12, 2, 3, and 7. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, number 3. I'm going to be a blessing, 4. I'm going to bless those who bless you, 5. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse, okay? Don't mess with Abraham, man. Your life's going to get jacked up if you do anything wrong with him. You're going to be in trouble. I'll curse those who curse you. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Then the last one, number 8, verse number 7, he says, to your offspring, I'll give you this land. So the Bible says Abraham built an altar there. God released promises in this man's life to encourage him. Fourth and finally, when God is worshiped, our faith is strengthened. When God is worshiped, our faith is strengthened. So Abraham was called to leave. Abraham didn't have details, didn't have location. God didn't fail to keep his promises. The question is, how does Abraham remain faithful? Some of you are here today, you say, man, God, Pastor, I get this message, but how do I do this? How do I stay the course? If I take the step that you're asking me to take, how do I stay the course? Abraham did it by worship. Because he had God saying, listen, I'm going to make you an entire nation. And him and Sarah couldn't even get pregnant. I'm going to make you a nation. Matter of fact, he said, Abraham, you want to see something, man? He said, look at the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Abraham said, man, we're trying. But she's not pregnant. And God says, listen, your descendants, stars of the sky, sands on the beach. You know what I'm looking at today? Descendants of Abraham. Okay? Guess what's happening at the hospital this morning? Somebody had a baby. Okay? Guess what happened in Greenville? Somebody had a baby. Norfolk General, somebody had a baby. Descendants. Stars in the sky, sands on the beach. Okay? God fulfilled his promise. Romans 4, 19 to 21. Without weakening. Check this out, man. Without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was 100. See, now you notice, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I said, hey, men lived 969 years. Remember the big canopy of water, broken, Floodwaters from the earth came up. Men were living 900 years. Here we are now in the later chapters. Abraham was how old when he died? 175. Moses was less than that. They're not living that long anymore. Why? Because that canopy's broken. The men's days are shortened. Okay? Men's days are shortened. The environment's taking them away here earlier. But he's 100 years old, and Sarah's womb is also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. And here's where it rests. And did what? And gave glory to God. Father, I thank you that you said you were going to open this job for me. Lord, I thank you for that promotion. God, I thank you that you have just opened doors for me that man cannot shut. God, I thank you that you have moved me from one place to another in this company. God will do it. He'll do it. He'll increase you as you trust in him. You'll move up the ladder. You'll move up the ladder. I was working for a shoe company. I opened a shoe show here in Ahoskie many, many years ago. I was a manager. Joy and I just got married. She was 17. I was 19. We got married. I was a manager. In no time, I was a district supervisor. I opened a store in Ahoskie. I had stores from Edenton to Raleigh. Company car, expense account. I was moving up the company, and I quit because God said, listen, I don't want you doing this. I said, Lord, but I'm progressing. The vice president of the company, who was a born-again, spirit-filled man, he said to me, Wallace, what are you doing? He said, you are the youngest supervisor in this company. You've had the number one territory in this company for the last 2 years. No one can touch you. You got four Raleigh stores. You hit it out of the park all the time. And I said, man, I got to leave here because God's hand is on my life, okay? And I'm not to be in corporate management. I'm called to the ministry. And he said, well, that's enough. I don't want to stand in the way. But he said, man, I was just going to ask you, do you need more money? I said, no, I don't need anything. I just need to be able to do what God's called me to do. You take a step of faith. Don't waver. Some of y'all, when I got preaching today, some of y'all, I said, listen, God may be calling you from unrighteousness to righteousness. Some of you said, well, that's what I need. You need to be at this altar today. In fact, why don't my altar workers come on and get in place? You need to be at this altar today because God is calling you to himself. You say, well, man, I'm a Christian already, but I just feel like God's calling me to more. Some of you, God is speaking to your heart right now, and you like this. You say, man, I love this. I love what I'm learning. I love what I'm hearing. I love what I'm experiencing. God wants you to have more. And today's your day. You step out in faith and say, hey, I'm just going to say, they're going to say, hey, what can I pray for you today? God just told me I needed more. Today's your more day. So how does he stay encouraged? He gives glory to God. Look at Genesis 12, the last part of verse number 5. It says that they set out for Canaan and they arrived. Abram finally reaches modern day Israel. 2,000 plus people, 300 soldiers. And he says, listen, I'm taking you into a land that's seven nations stronger than you. Okay? That's what he told Joshua. Seven nations stronger than you. Canaanites have 600,000 soldiers. There's nothing physically in Abraham's eyes and in his mind that tells him that he's going to be able to possess this land. The Bible says Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were there. And he says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So how does he stay encouraged? He renews his commitment to God over and over and over. You see this phrase in the Bible. And Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Over and over. Everywhere you look in this passage. And Abraham built an altar to the Lord. In other words, every time he got alone with God, he was in presence of God, he built an altar. Every time you come to this altar, every time you step out of your seat and come to this altar, you know what happens? You build an altar to the Lord. You lift up your hands. You rejoice. You worship. You pray in the Spirit. You know what you're doing? You're increasing your strength to trust Him no matter what. Well, He's always asking us to come to the altar. You know why? Because that's at the altar that your strength is renewed. Some of you don't want to get up and come to the altar. In fact, some of you I've never seen at the altar. I've been pastoring here 30 years. Some of you I've never seen get out of your seat and come to an altar. There. Well, it was a good sermon. So what? So what? If you come to an altar, you know what you're doing? It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of this. Listen, this is bigger than me. When I raise my hands up, Lord, I surrender my plans, my thoughts, my attitudes, my precepts, everything about this. I give this to you. Just give it to you. Abraham built an altar. Abraham worshiped. That's how he had the strength to do what God's called him to do. Let me get down to business here because we come to a close. Anybody here today, Pastor? In terms of salvation, God has spoken to my heart today. God has spoken to my heart today. In terms of salvation, I just want to say that God is speaking to my heart, and I know that I need to make a commitment to more of Jesus. Come on, can I see your hand this morning? More of Jesus for me. More of Jesus for me. Anyone at all? More of Jesus for me. God bless you. God bless you. More of Jesus for me. More of Jesus. Listen, don't pass by this moment. More of Jesus for me. God bless you. Come on, stand up and come and get to a place and let these pray for you. It's an act of rededication of your faith. Now, some of you, it may not be a rededication of your faith. You're serving God. You're a Christian. You're born again. But God is saying to you, you need more, okay? You like this. You love this. You're fed by this. You're drawn to this. And God is saying something to your spirit today. And Pastor, I just want to say, listen, I'm in. I'm all in. Would you stand and come and let someone pray with you? I'm all in, Pastor. I just wanted to give more, do more, be available more, anyone at all. God is saying that to you. God bless you. God bless you. You know what? Your heart is beating so fast now, it ain't funny. Just do it. Just do it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand together, could we? Just stand together. Allow God to move and speak to your hearts today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him in this house today. Sometimes God says, leave. Sometimes God says leave and He doesn't say where to go. But He wraps the journey with promises. And you remain strong because at every juncture you just say, Lord, I will worship you. When I don't even understand the details, I worship you. Hallelujah. Shiba baba koraman. Shiba baro. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and love Him. Lord, I thank you for strength for the journey. Thank you, God, for strength for the journey. Thank you for precious promises, God, that you fulfill all along the way. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
God's still moving. Let him do it. God's doing some incredible things. Come on, give him praise, guys. Give him praise. He's doing some incredible things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waiting in God's presence. You know, there's such power in just waiting. God's doing some incredible things around the altar today. Absolutely incredible things. Touching people's lives. Touching people's hearts. Faith. God's speaking to every one of us, guys. Let me go back here just a second. Let me just share this with you, one statement that as I was studying this, one thing that I wrote down that just really cut to the heart. A delay in doing what God calls you to do will result in a lack of the intensity of the calling that God has placed on your life. Okay? If you play with this, then it'll go away. Okay? Just go away. If you're called by God, okay, and you don't move forward, come on, forward, step forward, forward. If you play with that, eventually, you know what will happen? It'll go away. It'll go away. It'll leave you. Amen. It'll just go away. So here's another one. The longer you wait to obey the voice of God, the less likely you are to act on it. Okay? People respond today powerfully, powerfully. I see so much God doing so many things. Come on. Anybody struggling in your body today? You need healing? Anybody? Don't let us miss this.
If you need divine healing in your body, come on, step out. Divine healing. God to do something supernaturally in your body. Praise the Lord. There you go. Divine healing.
Oh,
throughout this day, no matter what you're doing. Wait on the Lord. Amen. I'm honored today. This man has served here at Carpenter Shop International Church as an elder at a season of time when God planted him here in this community. And he's preached from this pulpit multiple times, preached the gospel of Jesus. And Ivan, I've always admired you. You're a tremendous leader. You're an example of godly leadership. And you made a deposit into this church. And I want to thank you publicly for the deposit that you and your family made. Come on, do you appreciate Ivan today? Hallelujah. You made a deposit in my life personally. Amen. Always. One of the most difficult, the most difficult trial that I ever faced in 30 years of ministry. It wasn't 30 years at that time, but it's been the most difficult trial I ever faced. It was early in the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning when I arrived here at the church. And I was about my duties, what God had called me to do that specific day. And God, by His Holy Spirit, spoke a prophetic word to my heart. Boom, just like that. And I said, Lord. And He spoke to my heart and He said, Wallace. He said, like a lamb before his shears, he was silent. And he opened not his mouth. I was like, God, what are you saying to me? He said, I don't want you to say anything. I want you to be quiet. A few hours passed and I was still here in the church and I was grieving. In my spirit, I was grieving. It had been a challenging day for me. And Ivan comes to the church. And he said, Pastor, I was awakened this morning. And he said, what is happening with you? And I told him a bit of what was going on. And he said, well, let me just tell you. He said, when the Lord awakened me this morning, he said, he spoke to my heart and he told me to tell you that the battle has already been won. And it will be won by your silence. I said, what? He said, it'll be won by your silence. I broke into tears that day. I broke into tears that day because what you didn't know is that 3 hours earlier, God told me to be quiet. And God knew in my weakness, Pastor Mike, that I needed that assurance. And so he sent the prophet of God to my door and said, you're going to win, but you're going to be quiet. I admire you. You have made tremendous deposits into my life as a preacher of the gospel. And so I would be honored today if you would close out this service today by speaking a pastoral prayer. And I say that because you have a mantle on your life. You may not be a pastor, but you have a mantle of authority over your life. And so I want you to speak over this house today. I love you, my friend.
Praise the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Kimmy, I've just been crying the whole time. I can't explain it. And when I came here, the Holy Spirit just made me, I just sense such joy, such liberty, such something special about being here, like being back home again. And I just felt like just a pure river of living water from the throne of God just flowing in this place. And I just feel like I've been drinking, and I trust the Lord that you also have been drinking of this river of living water. And the Bible says, whatsoever thing the river touches shall live. It says plants shall flourish because they are planted by this river of water, and you will bear fruit for every season. And Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in the midst of your people. Not because we deserve it, but because you loved us and you've purchased us by the precious blood of Jesus. That's why David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. For in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank you for the seed of your word that has been sown to every heart. It is good seed. And Father, I pray you protect the seed. I pray that as we leave this place, we would ponder it and hide it in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee. And Lord, that seed shall grow and shall bear good fruit, and the fruit shall last. Father, we thank you. Bless your people. Prosper your people. Protect your people. And I thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we walk out of this place in our household, among our children, among our spouses, among our family members, in our job sites, wherever we are, we shall be a blessing. We shall bring joy. We shall bring salt. We shall bring light. And I thank you that from this place here in Ahoski, bright light is shining all over the world. We thank you so much, Lord. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Again and again. From this house, again and again. Let shouts of joy resound in the tents of the righteous. Again and again. I thank you that there is a sound of revival, a sound of hope. We give you the praise, Lord. All the glory. For in Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ivan. If you made a decision for Christ, either first time or a renewal of your faith, please be sure and turn that in. You can turn it in at the Welcome Center or turn it in to an altar worker here. Please make sure you turn that in today. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, online audience, for being with us today. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Hope to see you at 4 o'clock. Edenton, North Carolina, Franklin Graham Crusade. Bring a chair with you. God bless you.